For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to John chapter 14. John 14, and there we start reading at verse 15 and read to the end of the chapter. Here the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples on that night in which he was betrayed. And we start reading then at John 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Our text is verse 26 of John 14, where we read, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Dear congregation, in this Lord's Day morning, as we gather between Ascension Day and Pentecost, we are called in this text to go back to that upper room and to hear the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Such beautiful instruction. Instruction which is also full of promises of what he will do, what the Father will do, what the Spirit will do. And we may hear these promises of what God will do by his Spirit. Because God has been fulfilling this promise concerning his Spirit, and that is why we still have it. But do we not also listen to this promise? He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. With this prayer, that he would fulfill it this morning. Why have you come to church? Why are you here this morning? Is it not one thing to be taught? To be taught by him what you need to learn. And for me to be taught by him what I need to learn. How will that be? It's through him fulfilling his word. Our theme is Christ promises the Comforter to teach. Christ promises the Comforter to teach. First, to teach sufficiently. Secondly, effectually. And third, graciously. Christ promises the Comforter to teach sufficiently, effectually, and graciously. Here the Lord Jesus speaks of the Spirit who will teach you all things. That's a lot, isn't it? To be taught all things. Children, when you went to school in September, your teacher didn't stand in front of the class and say, "I am going to teach you all things." Because you know that your teacher can never teach you everything. And people who think that they know everything are usually people who know very little and are very proud. But it says here, he will teach all things. And when we ask, what are these all things? Then it is repeated again, and he says, he will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Spirit is the one who will teach everything that Christ has taught. All his sayings is what the Spirit will teach. Because the Christ is the one who has come and he has spoken so many things. Proverbs 10 says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. But that is a text that did not apply to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the multitude of his words, there was not a single sin. There was not a single error. There was nothing that he ever said that was wrong, that was inaccurate, that wasn't altogether true, or that wasn't altogether profitable. Everything he spoke was pure, was good, was beneficial, was for the good of those whom he addressed. What an amazing thought that is, isn't it? You think of our words, how many of our words are foolish words and inappropriate words and words which we should not have said. His words, his sayings, were good. And not just good. His sayings were the most important sayings that a person can ever hear. Because the disciples, they learned, didn't he? His words are the words of eternal life. Christ came. John 1 says, doesn't it? No man hath seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son of God who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus is the Son of God who is in the bosom of the Father and therefore knows all things, knows everything in the mind of God, everything in the plans and purposes of God. He knows everything in the heart of God. He knows everything about God in his character, in his attributes, in his work. No one knows God. Jesus knew God, knows God, and he came to reveal, to declare God, and to declare his way of salvation, and to speak those words of eternal life. He was able because he was God. How special that must have been for the disciples to be with the Lord Jesus those 3 years. And to know that everything comes out of his lips is true and for our good. And to be able to ask him questions and to hear an answer and know that's exactly the answer that I need to hear right now. Because he's the perfect teacher. And when we think of the disciples being there like that, then we can also think, what must it have been to have the Lord Jesus in that way? You imagine if he lived and was here in Dundas, and you could hear him and know it's perfect what he's saying. It's exactly what I need to hear. And you could ask him, and he would give you an answer. And you'd say, now I have my answer. We could wish that was the case. But it's not the case. The Lord Jesus has ascended. But before he ascended, he gave a promise. He said soon he would leave them and he would give his spirit to teach them. When you think of the disciples on that night, there they were. They had been taught by the Lord Jesus. They knew he was the Christ. Flesh and blood had not revealed that to them, but his Father in heaven. And yet were they not still so full of confusion? Even in this chapter, if you look at verse 5, he speaks to them and Thomas says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Philip says in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? These disciples had the Lord Jesus teach them. And still they were so filled with ignorance. And now these are the disciples that have to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these are the ones who have to make disciples of all nations. And these are the ones who have to teach all things whatsoever I have said unto you. How will these disciples ever be able to do so? If even with the presence of the Lord Jesus, they still had so much ignorance, what will become of them when the Lord Jesus leaves them? He says, the Father will give you another comforter. He will lead you into all the truth, and he will teach you all things. Isn't that amazing? As a promise in the first place for these disciples, the Spirit will come to teach. He will come as that comforter. That Greek word for comforter is paraklete. Para means beside, and klete means to, from a word meaning to call. A paraklete is someone who is called to the side of another person. That can be in the context of a court where paraclete is called to the side of a person on trial in order to speak on his behalf as an advocate. It's the same word. Paraclete is also someone who can be called to the side of a person in other contexts in order to speak, in order to help. And here we have the Holy Spirit as that one who comes to speak, and in that way, to comfort. He is the one who, Christ says, will be near to you to bring to your remembrance whatever I have said to you. The Spirit will so fill them and lead them into the truth that out of their mouths will come that truth of God. As they are there on Pentecost, you see it, don't they? Don't you? What they did not understand some weeks before, now they understand. And now they proclaim this Christ who has come and why he has died and where he now is as the ascended Lord, and they preach repentance and they call to faith. What is this? It's a Spirit teaching them all things and bringing to remembrance what Christ has taught them. So that when they did go into the world and preach the gospel to whoever they found, it was not their own words. It was the words of Christ brought to the remembrance by the Spirit of God, brought home to their heart as he enlightened them and enabled them to understand, so that what they brought was the Word of God. This promise is in the first place for these apostles who would have to go and preach the gospel. The Spirit would teach them all things. But again, we can think, not only do we not have the Lord Jesus here, we do not have the apostles here. We only have sinful men in black suits preaching to us. We're not apostles. Simple men. We only have parents. We're not apostles. We only have teachers and elders who are not apostles. If only we had the apostles. Congregation, we have the apostles. We have the apostles because we have the Word, which the Spirit inspired and the apostles recorded, so that that sayings of Christ would continue to the end of time. We have the teaching of Christ as fulfillment of this promise that he would lead the apostles into the truth and bring that into remembrance. And he also inspired them to record it in his word so that we might have it today. Do you realize what a privilege it is to open the word of God and to know this is the word of God. This is the word of Christ. This is pure. This is good. This is without error. This is perfect. This is exactly what I need to know and I need to hear. God himself has given his word to me so that I might hear it. And this word is the word of eternal life. What a mercy. In the midst of all the different voices that you hear every day, you may open this word and you may know thy word is truth. In the midst of all the confusion that you can have as a young person, because one person says this and another person says that and a third person says another thing, you can open the Bible and you can know this is true. Also in the midst of all the riddles that another person can have about himself, and you don't know what to think about yourself, and you don't know what to think about your spiritual condition, and you don't know what, in the midst of all the confusion, this is the word of Christ. In the midst of all your feeling of ignorance, even after the Lord has taught you and brought you into his school, and maybe after years of being into his school, you feel more ignorant than ever and more foolish than ever. What a mercy he still gives you. His true word. And as you open it, he says, hear ye him. This Christ. When we leave that word closed, we show how foolish we are. When we have so many questions and we leave the word of God closed, we show how foolish we are. Where's the teaching? It's in his words. All you need to know for life and for death is in his words. Because Christ, when he left, did not just leave his word in the memories of faulty disciples, but he gave his spirit to teach them all things and to bring it to remembrance so that they would write it in his word, and in that way we would have it today. Isn't that reason to open the word? And yet, if that was all, it would still be so discouraging, wouldn't it? If you say this morning, I have that word, but still I am so foolish. Still I don't see it. Then know that Christ promises a comforter to teach not only sufficiently all that we need to know in the word, but also effectually. Christ did not say, I will leave my teaching behind. Study it and learn it, believe it, obey it, and you'll be saved, and you'll be blessed. If that is all Christ did, none would be wise unto salvation. None would understand. None would know those three things we need to know to live and die happily. Christ saw that it wouldn't be enough to simply give a Bible and cause his word to be preserved through the ages. He saw that we needed his spirit to teach us. Because Christ knows what we are. He knows. And that's why he taught in 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He knew it's impossible for us to receive and know the things of the Spirit of God on our own. He knew, and that is why he taught. We are blind by nature, blind to the things he shows. They stare us in the face and we do not see them because we're blind. However beautiful a picture may be that you present before a blind person, it doesn't affect him because he's blind and he doesn't see it. That's our problem. Blindness. He knew that we were dead. And that's why the word would have no good effect upon us, but we would remain cold and hard even as that word is proclaimed. He knew our heart, what our hearts were like. And he knew that simply sending some men to try and convince us and try and persuade us and trying to make us see would never be enough. He knew none less than a divine teacher would do for sinners like we are. And that is why he promised, Comforter, the Holy Ghost, he will teach. Maybe the Lord has been teaching you who you are, so foolish, so blind, so hard. And you just don't understand. You don't see what he reveals of himself in his word. You used to think the problem was other people. You used to think it was your parents. You used to think it was the church. You used to think it was the minister. He's not clear enough. But you're learning the problem is right here. Your blindness. Your hardness. And that you need a divine teacher. But listen to this passage. Christ knew that far before you learned it, and he knows it in a more absolute way than you have ever learned, how much you need a divine teacher. And that is why he said, I will give my spirit to teach. To teach. And to continue to teach. My spirit shall teach you all things, whatever I have said. All things. That also means the spirit has so much more to teach. You think of all that is in the word of God. People of God, what do you know of all that is in the Word of God? Isn't it so little? That can be so discouraging. Why am I such a poor student? You're a poor student. But you have a divine teacher, the Holy Spirit. He's God. He has all power. He has all wisdom. And there can be no case too difficult for him to teach. You can be all confusion, all ignorance, all blindness. It's exactly who he teaches. So powerfully, so effectually, because he's God. And when he teaches, it's not just a matter of, now I've learned another detail from the Bible. I forgot how old Methuselah became, and now I know how old Methuselah was again. When he teaches, he brings home the reality of what is revealed in his word, so that you see that reality. So that in the words of 1 Corinthians 2, you discern, you see, you understand the things of God. That it's not just theory anymore. It's not just words any longer. It's not just a system, and one minister has this system and another minister has another system. No, then it's reality. He teaches those realities that he knows you need to learn. That's why he teaches so very personally. And for one, it may be a convicting and humbling reality. And for the other, it may be a comforting reality. But when he teaches what we need to learn. And that can even be different from what we think we need to learn. But he teaches. I've been reading a book about the Lord's work among the Highlands of Scotland in the 17 and 1800s. And I read of an account of a wife who went to church, and her husband did not want to go to church. He was very obstinate and hardened and lived a loose life. But finally he came once. And when he came home, he was very upset with his wife. He said, "You told the minister all about me." She said, "No, I didn't." But he was upset because he said, "That minister was telling me all my sin." Next week he went again. He thought, "What will she have talked again to that minister?" Came in church. It was even more. And again he was even more upset, and he said, "For sure you've talked to the minister all about me." She said, "No, I didn't." And eventually it came home. This isn't the minister. This is God saying, "Thou art the man, the sinner." And it led to his conversion. Have you ever sat in church that way? That the sinners aren't around you. You sit in church as the one great sinner in the church. It's you. And it's real. And it's true. A sinner. Without excuse. I can't hide it. I can't deny it. It's reality. The Spirit leading into the truth concerning yourself. The Spirit will teach you who you are. That's His grace. What a grace it is. The same with that other grand lesson. A lesson of salvation. It's a Spirit who teaches that truth. I read of a man who was going home in the day before there were cars, and he was walking over a bridge. He saw a crowd and he joined the crowd. And he saw a man sitting there with a Braille Bible and he was reading, but he had lost his place, and so he kept repeating the last words that he had said, "No other name, no other name, no other name." The other people around, they kind of smiled. He lost his place. But this man went home with those words ringing in his ears, "No other name." He had lately been convicted of his sin. And those words rang in his ears, "No other name." The next morning he awoke with joy as this gospel bell rang within him, "No other name." And he said, "I see it all. I see it all. I have been trying to be saved by my own works, my repentance, my prayers, my reformation. I see my mistake. It was Jesus. It is Jesus who alone can save me. To him I will look. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name, none other name, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Thou art the man. None other name. He had heard that before. But it was new. It was real. It was not only for others, but also for him. Again I ask, you sat in church that way, or been with an open Bible at home that way, or can even be the comment of another that comes home and you see it. You've heard so often, Jesus is the Savior. A time comes, you see, it's true. And it becomes so simple, and it becomes so amazing that he's a Savior of a sinner, even like me. What is it? The Spirit teaching you all things. This is what the Spirit lives to do, to teach those truths which are in the Word of God and to bring them home. So what you find Christ doing by his Spirit, also in an ongoing way. Sometimes it's the same lesson that he teaches through different means. That same text comes to you through different people. That same Psalter comes through you through different ways. And it's those very words that you need to hear in the midst of your condition of heart or situation in life. And you realize and you know it's true. Can be a specific text, can be a certain truth, can be even this morning. You were confused and you were trying to figure everything out and you were only becoming more confused, and that this morning that light breaks through. He is the teacher. And that so you lay before him all your confusion and you find him giving light. You're disappointed time and again about yourself. The light breaks through. He is a faithful Savior. Can be. You're enjoying yourself. You're on vacation. Everything is going well and you think things are going well in life. And that word comes. Shall it profit a man? He teaches. Teaches in so many ways, but it's always by his word. Could be you're wondering, should I continue this relationship with this young boy or young man or young woman? And he gives a tender conscience and he teaches, this will not be for your welfare. This will not be for your spiritual good. And it ends. He teaches. Brings home. He leads to see what you need to see. He teaches. That's why it's not about you. It's not about you being smart. It's not about you being intellectual. He teaches by his Spirit. And that's why children can learn and know things that professors do not understand. That's why a child can learn about his sin and about the Savior and about how to walk. Those lessons that a professor of Greek and Hebrew who can read the Bible inside or forward and backwards doesn't understand. The Spirit opens mind and heart to understand. And that's why, children, it's so important, isn't it, to pray, Lord, teach me. Teach me. So that I would see who Thou art, who I am. Teach me. You can't be too young. You also can't be too old. Maybe you sit here in church and you think, I've heard these things so often, and I'm getting older. I've already heard them 40-some years, or 50-some years, or 70-some years, or 80-some years. How can things ever change? I think it'll just continue how it is, muddling along with my confusion. Or you can fear, I'm only becoming harder. What hope is there? Hardened under the preaching of the Word of God. Hardened. And it means less, and there's less impressions than there were before as I read the Word of God. What's it show? You need a divine teacher. And this divine teacher lives to teach not nice people and soft-hearted people and teachable people, to teach the unteachable, to the glory of His power, of His wisdom, and of His grace. What reason to lay your case before Him and pray, O Lord, teach me. Teach me. For I've been so foolish. Confess that He is the teacher, to teach you what He pleases to teach you, what He knows that you need to learn. Do not be His teacher. Let Him teach you. The Spirit says He will teach whatsoever I have said unto you. And one way He does so is by bringing to remembrance, it says. Bringing to remembrance. If you bring something to remembrance, it implies that that person has heard it before already. Having heard it before, it now comes back again and comes home. Bring to remembrance. His work of bringing to remembrance is not simply, oh yeah, I remember that I heard that before. Or I think I heard a sermon on that same text. It's more than that. You think of Peter. This night, he will deny that he knows the Lord Jesus. He will do so after the Lord Jesus had said, this night thou shalt, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter knew that. If you had asked him some hours later, Peter, what did the Lord Jesus say? He knew that. But what happened? There he was by the fire. And that maid said, you also were with Jesus. He said, no. He denied it. And again, he heard the cock crow. Doesn't it say, and then he remembered the words of the Lord Jesus. Also as the Lord Jesus looked at him. And what was the effect of that remembering of the words of the Lord Jesus? It wasn't just, yes, I remember that he said that. No, that came home. He realized it's true, and he went out and he wept bitterly. You see, this bringing to remembrance is a bringing to remembrance in such a way that those words and those things that you have heard before affect you and don't leave you the same. And what a blessing it is, congregation, when the Lord brings to our remembrance things we have heard in the past and things we have memorized in the past, and he brings them home in the present as the very thing we need to know in the present. And again, it can be a convicting truth. It can be that you were there in catechism and you remember, and you had to memorize, we are prone by nature to hate God and our neighbor. Yeah, you had to make sure you knew your catechism right. And maybe you were able to say it, but it didn't mean anything to you. But later on, God brings it to remembrance. Those words you memorized. Prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. And he convinces you it's true. And it breaks you. Could also be with that other Lord's Day. Maybe the Lord's Day that people say, if you remember any Lord's Day, it's to be Lord's Day 1. You memorize it. You come to know its preciousness. There you are in the midst of all the troubles and difficulties at a time in life. You wake up in the night. What is your only comfort? That I with body and soul am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's real comfort in the midst of all your troubles. The Spirit brings to remembrance what he knows you need in the present. What a mercy that is. And there you are. And you're speaking to someone else. And you're not sure what to say. And the Lord brings to your remembrance that truth, which is what that person needs to hear. And the Lord even blesses that to that person. The Lord has so many ways of bringing to remembrance. So in the midst of the questions you can have about life, what way are you to go? He brings to remembrance those realities you need to see at that time to bring to remembrance. And congregation, if God is to bring to our remembrance these things, is it then not so important to learn them? Children, you have Sunday school. You memorize a psalter, a text. At school, you memorize. I think every week probably you have to memorize a psalter, maybe a text as well. It's one of the most important things you do at school. I hope you all have a 10. Or 100% for your memory work. Do you? And if you don't have 100%, I hope it's not because you didn't try. And if you tried really hard and you still didn't get 100%, that's okay. That doesn't matter at all. The important thing is you see, this is so important to learn, to memorize, that I would have it in my mind. So that also later in life, the Lord would bring those texts home to my heart when I need it. It's also for catechism students, isn't it? So important to listen, to concentrate, to learn. That you would take those things with you in your life and that the Lord would bring it to your remembrance and bring it home. It's also such an encouragement for parents, isn't it? Parents, what are we trying to fill our children with? Is it these things which the Lord may use to bring to their remembrance so that when they leave our homes, they go with that word of God within them and they can't erase it from their minds. It's there. Those truths they heard, they're there. And that the Lord would bring them to remembrance as only he can. Isn't that so essential? And isn't that also the encouragement when at times you may be discouraged and you think, what have they learned and what do they know? There can be older ones among us who see their children who are already adults and they have gone in a way of sin. Those things you taught them in their youth are things that God is able to bring back to their remembrance, that they would see it and it would break them. He lives to bring to remembrance. And what a glorious thing that is. Also, what an encouraging thing that is when there's a child of God getting older and you complain, my memory is not so good anymore. I can't remember the sermon like I could have in the past. That can be. But is that a hindrance for God to bring to your remembrance those, that truth that you need that day? The Lord is not limited by your poor memory. Isn't that a reason to pray? Oh Lord, teach me and bring to remembrance what I need to know this day. This is what Christ has sent his Spirit to do throughout the ages. And when you say, how can that be? How can this be fulfilled today? Our final point, very briefly, is Christ promises the Comforter to teach graciously. Christ says he must leave for the Comforter to come and abide with him. And that Spirit has come. And all through the ages, what sin and rebellion and foolishness and hardness and corruption and resistance there is, and yet all through the ages there is a people who are taught of God. Because this Spirit is an almighty Spirit and a Spirit of grace who continues to teach what Christ has spoken. Through the ages, he makes teachable all the way up to today. Why is there a people today who know God? It's because the Spirit continues to teach still today. This is so encouraging. And if the Lord has begun to teach you, will he not continue to teach you? Because he only began because of his grace, and he will only continue because of his grace. And if the Lord has begun to teach you, then you cannot despair of anyone else you see. You see ones so blinded. You see ones who don't get it, who don't see it. What were you? Yet he taught you. Is he not able to teach them as well? What reason to come before his throne of grace? O Lord, teach us. He teaches graciously. When you ask, how can that be? Christ says in the text, the Father will give him. The Father will give him, will send him. He will come as a gift of the Father. That shows us that the Father is so full of grace that he desires to give his Spirit to rebels, to bad students, to teach them. It's a gift of the Father. And he's the one who says, Christ is the one who says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more shall my heavenly Father give the Spirit to those who ask him, to ask him for his Spirit to teach them. Christ lives, the Father lives, to hear those cries also from among us. Oh, give thy Spirit to teach me, to show me. And when you still ask, why would he give him to a sinner like me? Or to someone who has thought he was taught by Christ, but is so prone to forget and to go astray. It says he will come in my name. In Jesus' name. The Spirit has been purchased by the sacrifice of Christ, by the blood of Christ. The only reason he comes is because Christ shed his blood. Christ gave the payment that was required. You and I could never give the payment. We can only give God our sin. Christ gave the payment. And that is why we may pray in Jesus' name. Teach me. He will. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, we give thee thanks that thou dost give us thy holy word, and that thy word is pure from beginning to end, and thy word is profitable, and thy word is a word of eternal life to us who deserve eternal death. O Lord God, thy word is sufficient. And we pray also that thou wouldst forgive our neglect of that word, our foolishness and our ignorance and our blindness and our pride and our hardness of heart. O Lord, we plead with thee that thou wouldst clear it away. Cleanse us in the blood of Christ, but also grant us thy Holy Spirit to teach us all things. And Lord, we have heard so many things over the course of our lives. And if that is so, we pray that thou wouldst bring to remembrance what we have heard, what we have read, as a word in season today by thy Holy Spirit. O Lord, wilt thou give us then thy Holy Spirit as thy gift, purchased by thy Son, a gift that thou dost delight to give, in order to bring to the knowledge of thee, in order to lead deeper into that knowledge of thee, in order to also guide in the way to go. O then, let thy Spirit be our constant aid, that all our ways would be directed to keep thy statutes. Lord, wilt thou watch over us as this day continues? Grant grace to keep thy day holy, and wilt thou bring us together again in this afternoon? We ask these things of thee, O Lord, in spite of our sin, and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the glory of thy triune name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.